What is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? The food, seeing family that you haven't seen in a while, or sometimes the weather when it's nice out? We are going to continue in the book of Colossians. I am doing a series through the book of Colossians and the different opportunities that I've been given to speak. In Colossians 3, we see that we are to love one another and to have the correct relationship we should with God and with others. To give us some context, for chapter 3 here, we see at the end of chapter 2 in verse 16 that Paul states, "Let no one disqualify you because of festivals, a new moon, or a Sabbath." And in verse 23, we see that these were referring to laws of the Old Testament that applied to the Jews then, but were not applicable to the church of Colossae here in the book of Colossians. Colossians 3, where we're going to be tonight, Paul writes in verses 1 through 4, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Paul reminds us here to have our focus on what is to come, which is Christ. If we are raised with Christ, meaning we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, then as a result, we are to seek or pursue after things that are above, or pay more attention to things that are to come, rather than being fully focused on here and now and what we have now. When it says here in verse 2, it says, "Set your mind on things above." And when it's talking about these things that are above, it mentions that Christ is above, and that Christ is seated with God at the right hand of God in heaven, which helps us to understand that Paul is talking about heaven when he is talking about things that are above. In verse 2, we see that Paul goes on to encourage us to not only seek things that are above or heavenly things, but also to remind us to set our minds on things that are eternal, or the things of heaven. These verses are an encouragement to me, and I hope to you as well, as we await for the return of Christ, when we will be taken up in the clouds to heaven, where everything is perfect, and we no longer have to worry about sin or things of the world. Verse 3 reminds us that we are recognized by God through our salvation in Christ, that we are forgiven of our sins. Because it says in verse 3, it says, "And your life is hidden with Christ in God." Meaning that when we have a relationship with God, that we can be sure and we can have no doubts about the fact that when God sees us as believers, that he sees Christ who is perfect and forgives us of our sins. Verse 4 here again reminds us of the fact that we are going to be in glory with Christ after his appearance, or after he comes to get those of us who are believers. This takes place during the rapture, which there are different views on when the rapture is going to take place. But everyone must come to the conclusion that when the rapture does happen, we will be taken up with Christ to heaven and live with Christ forever. So my first point is focus on what is above. That is with verses 1 through 4. So after Paul encourages believers in the church to look up, he continues to encourage them just in a different manner. In verses 5 through 9, Paul reminds believers of how they were prior to their salvation. We read in verses 5 through 9, Paul states, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with his practices." You can almost take from verse 1 where Paul says, so if you are raised with Christ, Paul could have put that very same phrase here at the beginning of verse 5 by stating, if you are raised with Christ, then you will put to death anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. In verse 6, Paul reminds us that God's wrath will be upon those who act upon their earthly desires and sins. Paul then reminds those of us who are believers who have accepted Christ as our Savior, that we are to not push away others who have sinned in the same way that we once did in order that they would continue in the sin. But we are to encourage and help them to escape those sins as we were able to do through the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul then goes on in verse 8 to mention some more things that we are to put off that we once did. But now you must put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. Colossians 9 seems to be somewhat set apart from the rest of the passage. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with his practices. Some commentaries that I read through studying through this even mentioned that it seemed that the verse was set apart because Paul restates the do not at the beginning of the verse. Some of the commentaries pointed out that lying is one of the most hateful sins that is mentioned in the Bible. In Proverbs 6:16, Solomon writes that lying is one of the 7 abominable sins, along with haughty eyes, murder, and wicked plans. They also went on to mention that in Revelation 22:15, it states that liars will not go to heaven. And in John 8:44, John states that Satan, the deceiver, or the biggest liar, is their father. Some of us, during Thanksgiving, this is how our Thanksgiving meal looks. Everybody's enjoying food, good conversation. But some of us, our Thanksgiving looks more like this. So imagine with me that you're at a Thanksgiving table where there's a bunch of food, turkey, ham, stuffing, beets, salad, and some other Thanksgiving food. Now we have Uncle Joe here, who is the type of person that is just wanting to disagree on anything. You will find something to disagree with you on. But let's use the example of the fact that an iPhone is better than an Android. So you're here talking to Joe, and the two of you go back and forth. It's better for this reason, it's better for this reason. And at some point, the two of you start to get angry, and you start yelling, and you get to the point where you just flip the table. Food goes everywhere, you flip the table, all the food's all over the place. Now, Joe and the rest of the family there knows that you claim to be a Christian. You claim to be someone who is living to be like Christ. At this point, you have now shown that you were angry. So you're not representing Christ very well. Not only were you not representing Christ very well to Joe, but you were also not representing Christ very well to everybody else at the table. Now, some of you might say, well, who cares what operating system of phone you use? But I'm sure every one of us here can think of one thing that we disagree with other people on. And everybody is passionate about whether one thing is right or whether the other thing is right. Let us analyze this example here. So first, you have shown that you are angry and you flip the table. And in verse 8, In verse 8, we see that it says, we are not to be angry, which we have already broken that part and showed that we were acting on our old self and how we were prior to our salvation, how we were are to be now. This shows that we are still living some of these practices, because when you're angry, we are not compassionate, not kind, not humble, not loving. This example shows that we are still practicing the opposite of what our new life should look like. Verse 9 and 10, we see that Paul states, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with his practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Paul here goes on to say that we are to get rid of or put off these evil practices. In order to do that, we have to have something to put on to replace it, which is the new self, which is being Christ-like, meaning we're to act like Christ did, which is compassionate, meek, kind, humble, patient, loving, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. The most important of all these is to love one another. Jesus used these exact words in Matthew 22:34-39, when the Pharisees tried to trick him. It states, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. In John 13:34, John states, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. Verse 11, Paul writes, here, there is not Greek, and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. Paul here is talking about the fact that it does not matter whether you are Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, free, or slave, but we are all to be like Christ in our actions and our words after we are saved. Paul used the language here for those who were reading the letter at the time, because they would have very well understood what he was talking about with these different divisions of people. Let's go back to the example of Uncle Joe. Let's take this example, though, in a different way, how we should have reacted or how we should have done it. If we are acting as a believer who is living out the new self as it is written in the Bible, we would calmly disagree with Joe on his opinion. We would be compassionate and loving, even if Joe is wrong on which operating system is better. We would be humble and understand that Joe is possibly just trying to get us worked up over something. And we would be patient in this instance, because that would help to keep us calm and to help us avoid flipping the table or showing that we are angry. Some might say, well, Jesus flipped the table when he was in the temple because he was angry. And I would say, yes, that is true. But Jesus did it because people in the temple were blatantly sinning in a place that was reserved for sacrifices for sin and for worshiping God, not selling things and sinning at the same time. That is a lot more appropriate for Jesus to do, because they were dishonoring God, and that's more important than us flipping the table over operating system. In verse 14, Paul points out by using the words new self practices, which is that we are to love, and as a result of loving, we will be in perfect harmony with others. In verse 14 to 17, Paul writes, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, or brings perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul mentions here that through our relationship, in order for us to let the peace of Christ be in our hearts, that we need to read our Bibles and read God's word and allow it to dwell in our hearts and to soak up everything that God is trying to teach us as we read his word. We also need to allow it to change us and to encourage us. In verse 16 here, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Paul here is helping us to understand that if we are in God's word and we are reading God's word, then it will help us through teaching and encouraging others. When we are saturated in God's word, we will have wisdom in order to counsel or teach others in singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in our hearts. It is very encouraging to me when I come to church and I have the opportunity to sing with other believers. It makes me very happy and very encouraged to know that when the world gets rough and when times are really difficult, that I have people that can come alongside of me, encourage me, and understand stuff that I might be going through. So now that we have talked about what proper relationships would look like, let's look at what an improper relationship would look like. We see improper relationships here in the passage where Paul uses the words obscene language, which is cursing or taking God's name in vain. We can see in the contrast between verse 3 and verse 12 when Paul mentions how we should be living in our new life and how verse 3 is talking about verse 5 where it says how we should be putting off things, different areas of our life. Another thing that he contrasts is not being kind, not being humble towards others, not being meek, which is power under control, and not showing that we are under the power of the Holy Spirit or the help of the Holy Spirit, not being patient or bearing with one another, even if at some point we've just had enough and don't think we can forgive them. The Bible tells us that we are to forgive them. The Bible also mentions that we are to forgive because we are forgiven. If we were living in our old self or our old desires, we would not be admonishing, we would not be loving, which the Bible says in many different places and in different circumstances and situations that we are to be loving no matter what. So how can this be applied to us today? As believers who have really received Christ as their Savior, we are to represent Christ in everything we say and do. We need to be an example to those who are non-believers that we are different and that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is living in us. Even for some of us who have been saved for many years, we are still sinners, saved by grace, and it can be easy for us to go back to how we were before with the temptations of the world and with the different relationships we have with non-believers. Ask yourself these three questions with me. As a believer, through salvation, have I left what is of my old self behind? Have I allowed the Bible to change me? Have I allowed other people that God has used in my life to change from the old self and to be the child of God that we are supposed to be? Is it evident to others that you have been changed because of your salvation? This can be a very challenging question, because I think that it can be easy for us in our life to say, yeah, I think I act different. I think I use different words. But I think many times we don't notice what other people see in us, where we believe that we have all our boxes checked and we're like, yeah, I think that I believe that I am living the way I'm supposed to be. And it is very hard to be called out by other believers who are like, hey, you need to work on this area of your life. This is the same as how you were living before. You need to make sure that the Bible is changing you and that the ministry of His Word is changing you. Is there a part of myself, my old self, that I'm not willing to give up? As part of putting off the old self and putting on what is new. We have to get rid of the old self. And doing that can be very difficult, especially if we have been living in the old self for many years. And now we are trying to change habits or change the way that we talk or act in a way that is glorifying to God and right. And then, do I have proper relationships with my family and friends? In the situation or the example of Joe, am I the kind of person that is quick to act like the first example with just responding out of thoughts and out of sin nature? Or am I able to slow my mind down, think through what I'm doing, and say, okay, I understand that Joe is trying to just get me worked up over something to show that I'm not really changed or that I'm not living the way that I should. Okay, pray with me if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are and the relationship we can have with you. I pray that you'll help us as we interact with others and as we are able to be an example of how you have changed us. I pray that you'll help us to, when we're in the heat of the moment or whenever we are thinking through different things, I pray that you'll help us to slow everything down and just recognize that we are to be an example of you and to show that we are different than those who are not saved. I pray that you'll help us to be a good example in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.